Yes, you! You're looking sexy! Oh, and you're listening to the Kid Craddock Podcast. Kid Craddock in the morning.
Here's Big Al Mac.
Well, today is June 15th. This is the 166th day of the year. There are 199 days left in the year. And, Kelly, you'll be interested to know, you have 192 Christmas shopping days left.
I'm starting.
She's done.
Yeah, I don't do that anymore.
You don't? What?
I don't do early Christmas shopping anymore.
Well, she's in a relationship.
Oh, my gosh.
No, that's not why.
Oh, okay.
Good for you.
No, it's not that. It's just you buy stuff in March.
Uh-huh.
And, okay, you can't get a gift receipt because there's no way they can exchange it in December.
Of course.
And then what you buy for them in March, you're like, oh, man, by the time December rolls around, I don't really want to give anybody that. So I end up with all this crap that I don't want to give to anybody. So I've just decided to wait like normal people do.
Okay.
So you're going to procrastinate like everybody else?
Procrastination. I'm just not doing it super early.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I get that.
Like
get
maybe
that.
November.
I don't know where to put it. I'm trying really hard to organize and get rid of all the surplus, superfluous stuff around my house.
I guess what made me think of Christmas with you, well, because of the days of the year, but I was at the mall yesterday. I went to get my shave and to watch a movie.
And you left us early. You lied. But thank you. Go ahead.
Okay.
He promised he was going to stay, and he left anyway.
Oh, Al.
Okay. I'll put my sentence on the shelf for a minute. I'll put my sentence on the shelf.
Did you just really just tell on yourself?
Yeah. Here's the thing.
Of course you did.
I did tell Kelly.
I said, please.
Who leaves early on every trip? First of all.
Al does.
Oh, okay. You pulled the whole, I'm going to stay and fly back with you, and you just went to the airport in the middle of the night?
Well, here's what I did. I told Kelly. Kelly said, I called to see if there were any flights available. They said, probably not. Everything's sold out. So I said, okay. Kelly did ask. She said, are you going to stay with us? I said, okay.
Our guide was so nice.
He was super nice.
He wanted to have breakfast with us the next day and take us to the airport. And I just felt like it meant a lot if we just hang out.
And you guys went to Durango
less than 24 hours. Can you not postpone your shave one day?
One day,
or 1 hour? Come on.
Here's the thing. Okay, there's a couple of reasons. Yeah, my shave. And my girl, I hadn't seen my girlfriend in a week. And Saturday is her only day off, Saturday night, and into Sunday afternoon, because she has to go back to work on Sunday at 6 p.m.
Okay.
If I had taken the scheduled flight, I would have gotten to see her maybe 2 hours. And I wanted to take her to a movie.
When were you guys scheduled to return?
Did you sleep through the movie?
At 11:20.
A.M. Sunday morning.
Did you even go to the movie?
Yeah. And to come back, we would arrive back at, 2 o'clock, 2:20, something like that.
Yeah, they're an hour behind.
Yeah.
So anyway, and then on top of that, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm sorry. That is my sleep pattern. I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm sitting there. I'm in a room with Greg. This is Greg.
Oh, man, the worst snorer ever.
3 feet from me.
Bless his poor wife, Erica.
I'm wide awake.
Should have come and gotten there with me.
Now, Al, I don't mean to intrude here.
Kelly and I shared a room. She doesn't snore. We were great together.
I've shared a room with Big Al in the past, and you happen to be quite the snorer yourself, sir.
You know what? That's fine if you're sleeping.
I don't sleep when I stay with you. It's who can fall asleep faster.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there like, I mean, my eyes are like plates. They're wide open. So I'm like, okay, it's 3. It is 3 a.m. in Durango, Colorado. Beautiful city.
Yeah.
But there ain't nothing to do at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Go work out.
Our hotel, great hotel, historic, has 20 rooms.
Okay.
So
yeah.
wasn't one of those. It was like a bed and breakfast. Beautiful. So I'm like,
that's what the outdoors are for, Al.
Yeah. So I'm like, I guess I'm going to go. I said, I promised Kelly I would stay. I'm going to go. I mean, I did. I battled back and forth with myself. I said, it's 4 o'clock. If I leave now, I can probably fly standby. I might get on the plane. I might not because it's full, right? So I pack my bag. It's for overnight trip.
You didn't tell anybody?
I put my drawers in the bag. Wow. Greg wakes up. And so I said, well, Greg, what are you doing, man? Yeah, hey, Greg, I'm leaving. So Greg rolls over. Okay, man, see you. And so
that sounds weird.
So
Greg rolled over.
So now I've got my bag on my shoulder, and I hit the streets of Durango, Colorado.
You gonna walk to the airport?
Our office is closed. The hotel office.
It's a small hotel.
Yeah, it's a small hotel.
Oh,
right?
That's kind of charming.
That's what you get.
So I'm like, now what? And the guy right across from the office, Kelly, is Greg's daddy. I could hear him through the hotel room door. So I was like, I go out the front door. I'm looking. There's not a car in sight.
Oh, 3 in the morning.
And so I'm like, if I close this hotel, if I close the door,
you're out.
I'm out. I'm fully committed
at
this
point.
I, black man in Durango, I saw, how many black people did you
it's
see?
Very rare. We maybe saw 2 or 3 at the festival. Macaroni and Cheese Festival, which was great. One here.
It was like I was at the
Can
CMAs.
Can you imagine
all
just
again.
Going from booth to booth, getting heaps of different flavored macaroni and cheese on your plate?
It sounds like heaven.
It was heaven. So I walked down the street. I haven't seen any. I'm walking to the main street. And I see this lady walking or jogging or whatever she's doing. I'm like, do you know? Excuse me. I'm trying to be.
Did she take off sprinting?
Can I talk to you for a minute?
I'm trying to be as least intimidating as possible.
Right.
And I'm like, she doesn't see anybody else. I don't see anybody else. Do you know where I can get a cab? She's like, nope.
Do you have a phone now?
Yeah, why don't you?
There's no Uber. I called this cab company. I said, could you send a cab? I give them the address. And they're like, you're in Colorado? I said, yeah. It was like 1-800-CABS or something.
Oh, my God.
The lady was in Los Angeles.
So, you called the 1-800-CABS?
So, yeah, something like that. So anyway, okay. I go to this other hotel, and they're open. And the guy, ding, the guy comes back from the back. And I said, can I get a taxi? He goes, where are you going? Like, nobody travels at 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, I have a bag. I'm going to the airport if that's okay. He gives me two cards. I call one. Guy says, I'll be there in 5 minutes. Perfect. A car, Escalade pulls up. I tap on the window, and the guy looks back at me. And I'm like, I pull on the door. It's locked. He gets out, locks it. Boop. I'm like, I'm ready to go. He goes, I'm staying at the hotel, dude. This is not your
place. Oh, no, Al. You trying to grab that auto over here?
This is not my luxury Uber.
But anyway, if guy finally comes, and then he goes, you in a hurry? I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, I got to make a stop. I'm like,
what's a cab driver got to stop for?
It's 3 o'clock in the morning in Colorado. Hello. So
because
he picks this dude up, and then we go up the hill.
Wait, you did a ride share?
He picks this dude up because he's just going a little ways. And so they exchange some money. I'm serious.
But it's legal.
They exchanged a little bit of money, and then he let the dude off in the middle of, I didn't see anything. He goes, just let me out right here. I'm like, what just happened here? I don't know. I'm not 100% sure, but I had an idea.
Why'd you stop?
Because I'm high!
But anyway, I love Durango, Colorado. And I'll tell you this.
You got to the airport.
I got to the airport.
Was it even open?
Stand by.
I go through security. Oh, God. I go through security because I know you have to go to the gate to get on standby. There's nobody at the gate. I got there super early so I could be the first person. I go back out of security. The lady acts like nobody in Durango has ever flown standby before. She has to look it up in a book, like how to put me on the standby list.
Wow.
I got on the plane. So
I wish you would have not gotten in on Kelly.
Kelly, when did you find out that Al wasn't going with you?
When I got up to go to breakfast with our lovely host.
Well, I didn't know I was going to get on the plane.
What, was
I
the host
wake
sad?
You up to tell you.
He was a little disappointed.
The host was disappointed.
But we explained to him that's just the way Al
that's
does.
Just Al. So, you set up breakfast with Al, and then he doesn't show up because he's in back home.
And so I did get to go to Jurassic Park with my girlfriend. I got my shave. Got to spend the afternoon with her. And
you ditched Kelly.
And everybody's happy.
You ditched Kelly.
That's just par for the course.
That's much better than last time.
I don't care.
When I traveled with Al, and I land, and I get to my wife, and my wife goes, hey, Al's girlfriend just called me in and was asking if you guys landed. Do I lie to her? Because you hadn't called your girlfriend in 2 hours.
I had to stop by the job. Yeah. And, you know.
It's the Kid Kraddick Morning Show.
Jenna Owens.
I'm very excited here.
We've been talking about this. Big celebrity in your world, huh?
I know, and I've been holding on to it because this is one of those things when you meet a celebrity or see a celebrity, I just wanted to tell everyone and tweet it. But then I'm like, I got to hold on to this and tell you guys a surprise on Monday morning because... This is definitely in the history of celebrity encounters me or for probably just about anyone.
How did this happen?
This is how this happened. I was tired Friday, you guys. I didn't want to go out. I didn't want to do anything. So I thought, I'm going to go wander the mall.
Okay.
I'm going to go wander the mall. The mall closes at 9 o'clock on Friday nights. Open a little bit later. I thought I'd get some shopping done.
Okay.
So I parked outside of a nice, nice high-end department store.
Okay.
And it was 8:59. So I'm like, I got to get through. So I before the, they're closing the gates.
Late shopping.
Yeah, they're closing the gates to the department store. So okay. I'm like, I got to get through and get out of here. It's late. So I'm walking through, go up the escalator, and then I see.
She's looking dead at me, so this is going to mean something.
Because you're supposed to die, remember?
Oh, yeah.
You might fall out over it. And
any
then,
more guesses?
Then
I said Jennifer Lopez.
I have a couple, but I'm waiting to hear.
I'll say Jennifer Lopez. I'll say Sofia Vergara. I'm guessing.
I want to hear it from her.
Actually, okay. Why don't you hear it from the announcer?
Okay.
His professional record, a perfect one. 42 fights. 42 victories, including 26 knockouts. Floyd Money.
Wow.
Mayweather.
Okay. All right.
Oh, wife abusers at the mall. That's nice.
Exactly the reason I said, do you have a celebrity that you feel kind of guilty that you are starstruck over?
Yeah.
In the handbag section of a high-end department store, I see Floyd Mayweather.
Jenna, did you feel safe?
Well, this is how this goes. I see Floyd, and I'm thinking, he has this huge entourage of people. I kind of look around, and I see a bunch of big guys and girls, a ton of people about 10 steps behind him.
Are they wearing the money hat?
All with the Money Team logo.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, my gosh, he's about 10 steps. He's alone. The store is closing. Half the lights in the department store are off, right?
Yeah,
like, there's no one in the store except for Floyd and Floyd's entourage.
So the lights are dim. Floyd's standing there.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm a girl. I'm shopping.
Yeah, you are.
So I just was, I don't know what came over me. I walked right over to the designer handbag section.
Okay.
Acted like I was looking at a purse. I see that his bodyguards and people are about 10 steps behind him. I have a feeling he's the type of guy that's never alone because no one ever gets pictures with him, and he has a reputation for not being very nice to people.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's a good guy.
He's not.
I'm a little torn because I'm like,
right.
Jenna, why are you so starstruck? But you know all my boxing lately. I've been boxing. I have boxing karma. I mean, and this guy is...
You can go spar with him.
Say what you want. He's one of the best... He is probably the best athlete in the entire world.
Yeah.
This is a guy that makes more money than, what, LeBron, Tiger Woods, and Cristiano Ronaldo combined.
He's the wealthiest athlete. I don't know if he's the best athlete.
Well, whatever. Fine.
Okay.
Downplay a little bit. So I don't know what came over me, you guys. I just saw this window of opportunity.
Uh-huh.
And I just walked right up to him.
What'd you say?
And I swore, but I said, wow, blanking awesome. I'm Jenna. And I stuck my hand out. And he gave me slightly more than a dead fish handshake.
Slightly.
Hey, well, he didn't want to hurt you.
That's what it was.
His hands are lethal weapons.
What does hands feel like?
He's so small. He's so small.
They say he's
5'8", but I think he's smaller than me. He's so small.
Really?
Now, when you felt his hand.
And I grabbed his hand, I shook it, and then just as I'm shaking his hand, I realized he's not really shaking mine. Wait, is there some sort of unspoken rule that you're not supposed to shake a boxer's hand? I mean, their hands are weapons. Their hands are their lives.
That's how they make their money.
Maybe you're not supposed
to. Jen is the reason, the career-ending injury. She
it's
shook his hand.
Well, he gave her one of the handshakes.
He gave me slightly more than a dead fish, and he said, oh, hey, not very friendly. And I said, cool, man, and I just kept walking. I didn't even try to have conversation.
Okay.
His bodyguards came over.
Yeah.
You know, and then a bunch of girls.
The cleanup crew.
Right, the cleanup crew. Because I think he was more like,
I think Floyd's
how
got
did
a problem,
they thought he thought it was shut down for him. How did someone just approach me and do this? You know, he's very caught off guard. And so that I took a few steps and I had to stop and take a breath and I look back and his whole entourage is there.
Yeah.
One of the guys from his entourage came over to me. Hey, what's your name? And I'm like, I don't know. He was like, we're partying tonight, and then we're getting on the money jet and going to Detroit for a party tomorrow. You want to come?
Yeah.
Can I get your number?
Heck yeah.
And I'm like,
so you're in Detroit.
Yeah, here's
you should have done it for the show,
like,
Jenna.
Yeah, here's my number. Here's my number.
You could scout for Dr. Girlfriend.
And so then I went and had to talk to one of the salespeople that I know well there and get some scoop, because I heard he had been, you know, shopping.
Okay.
How much did he throw down?
He spent $30,000 in 30 minutes. And all he did was, they said they wasn't nice, would not make eye contact, would not talk to anyone that was talking to him.
He spent $30,000. Very rude. That's
and basically just had 20 people with him and bought 20 sunglasses, 20 designer purses, 20 pairs of shoes, and wouldn't take photos with anyone.
Just bored.
And I mean, he just looked unhappy.
It's a sad life.
He's bored. He's bored.
I mean,
I think he got it all, and it's just
part
sad.
Part of me is like, he's not a good person.
He's a horrible person.
I feel bad for being starstruck over someone like that. Then
right,
again,
right, right.
I love sports, and it's a huge, mean, he's a huge star. I mean, yeah, he just absolutely. Won this fight.
He
and
did a club appearance somewhere. I heard it on the radio.
That's what he was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. He does club appearances and flies around with his whole entourage and apparently goes to the mall and says, you know, bad things under his breath about how the mall was cheap when it's like the nicest store in the mall just pays for all these people to just buy whatever they want.
You gotta spend $30,000 when your hat says money team. Or
I know, but it's like, at what point does that just get kind of old that you have all these people around you that you're just
bored?
Yeah. Why not be personable?
Mm-hmm. You know? I'd rather have people like me.
He's miserable.
Sorry. You know,
I got on Instagram to see because I could tell I wasn't about to ask for a photo, and I didn't really want a photo to advertise it anyway.
Yeah.
I just thought it was cool. It was so unexpected to be
it
in
is.
The mall right. by myself as it's closing and to see Mayweather. But I saw people on Instagram. No one got photos with him, and someone was very disappointed and posted a photo of him walking through the store and was like, "He's my idol, and he was so rude to me, I'm so disappointed."
So it doesn't matter that he beats women, but because he didn't stop for a picture with you, now you're off the bandwagon. That's what I have a problem with. People. Pick your heroes better.
Here's the thing, Kelly. Like, he did this club appearance. Now, I don't know how much it cost to go to this club, but it wasn't free. I promise you, as a bar owner, it wasn't free to get in to see Floyd Mayweather. Now, imagine spending $20, $30, $40, $50 to go see this guy, and he's just like that toward you. You know?
I looked at the photos from the club, and he just sits up top, surrounded. Yeah. I think that's how I just happened to catch him, you know, ahead of his crew. He stays surrounded by people, so you can get a photo of him way up there with a group of 30... You know,
bodyguards
and entourage, but
it's kind of sad.
I had a guy moment when Jenna called me and told me that she had just met him because she was so excited she needed to tell somebody. And I had the guy moment, Al.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of guys would ask this question, hopefully. Do you remember what I asked you, Jenna?
What?
I go, you think I could take him?
I will tell you, no one could take him. Just because he's so small, you think you could.
Right.
But his hands were so soft.
Really?
You would think he got like a manicure every 5 minutes.
Probably
his
did.
Hands were softer than mine.
Plus, he got those gloves on all the time.
Right.
So, you know.
His hands were small and soft, and he was just.
Supple? Would you call him supple?
He was just so whittled. He was just a little guy.
I would call his hands, you know, supple.
Supple.
Soft hands.
I don't think any man wants to be called supple.
I bet
his hands
are supple.
Whatever. So I feel, I do. I feel this like driving home, I'm like, wow, I'm so excited. I'm so excited that I saw this athlete because he's just so, you know.
He's really famous.
He is famous, and I love boxing, and I love athletes. And then I'm like, I feel kind of bad that I'm this starstruck over someone that's really not a good guy.
Yeah, I feel you.
It's just the fame that made you starstruck.
Because I'm not even a fan. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not even a fan. It just was very exciting, and Al, I knew you'd be excited.
No.
Al, see, you didn't even have to have the fight at your bar and miss your girlfriend's birthday. You could have just gone to the mall.
Yeah, right.
Now, you remember, you just said that guy posted that picture saying he was disappointed in Floyd.
Yep.
Remember that story from last week where some rumors came out that who's the guy that's starring in Jurassic Park? Everybody loves him.
Chris Pratt. Yeah.
People were saying that Chris Pratt was a jerk.
And I wouldn't believe that.
I wouldn't either.
You'd have had to catch him on the worst day ever to think that.
I mean, every interview you see, he's super nice. But there were reports out there that Chris Pratt was being a jerk on set of Jurassic Park. So somebody was listening to our show. They heard these rumors. She happens to have worked with Chris Pratt on the set of Jurassic Park.
Huh.
Like you say, Kelly, Kid Nation, you need to be our ears and our eyes.
We rely on you for, like, stuff, because we can't be everywhere.
And here's Anna to tell us if those rumors are true or false. Hi, Anna.
Hi.
So you got to work on the set of Jurassic Park?
I did. I was an extra on Jurassic Park, and I worked in a couple of scenes, actually. And I'm glad y'all didn't believe it, because that could not be farther from the truth.
Okay, good.
Did he interact with you guys?
He did. A lot of times actors don't, and not because they're being mean, but just because, I don't know, they're in the zone practicing their lines. But he went out of his way to come talk to extras and tell us hi and make us feel welcome. How are you doing? Thanks for being here kind of stuff. So went out of his way to talk to his fans.
Yep. I believe you.
I do too. The big crowd scenes, I saw the movie yesterday. How many extras would you say there were total, and how long did you guys have to work, and how much did you get paid?
Well, the very last scene, if you're asking about big crowds, the very last scene I was there.
Okay.
That was about 500.
Whoa.
That's a lot of folks. And how long did it take for y'all? How much time?
It's all day, huh?
They tell you to be available for 12. I think that one was probably like 10-ish hours. And it's about $100, $115, something like that.
$115. Okay.
So are you, did you see the movie and did you see yourself or there's just too many people?
I did. I saw the movie. I saw myself a couple of times.
Okay, tell us where you are.
Yeah.
Tell us where you are so we can find you.
Well, I was a scientist in the very beginning.
Okay.
Creating some dinosaurs. I was pushing an egg around in a giant machine.
Okay, look for her pushing an egg around,
pushing
a scientist in the very beginning of the movie.
Got it.
And then in the very last scene, I don't want to say too much because it's the very last scene, but I was right between two of the main characters in the very end.
Okay.
Oh, right. She don't want to give anything away.
Because you don't know who lives and who dies.
By the way,
right.
I don't want to say anything.
Jurassic World was expected to make $135 million this weekend.
This blew me away.
It pulled in $204.6 million here. $511.8 million worldwide.
It was a worldwide record, I think,
Worldwide record.
Yep. Dollars.
Anna, you're part of a record.
I'm a record, guys. I'm a record.
You are.
Was it fun, Anna?
Wait, what?
Did you have a lot of fun?
I did. I had so much fun. I've done a couple of movies, and that was by far the most fun.
Awesome. And Chris Pratt was a great guy, according to Anna.
JC, you have to put her in your next movie.
Well, I need to be asked to be one.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Jenna just told us she met the champ Floyd Mayweather. And he wasn't the nicest.
Look, I know it's polarizing, too, because people are like, you're excited about that? I'm like, I know. I have guilt that I'm excited about meeting a bad guy.
A bad person.
Still a famous person. You get an adrenaline rush out of that.
But I like athletes and really into boxing lately. I'll leave it at that.
He was part of probably one of the biggest boxing match in the last 20, 30, 40 years.
I respect athleticism. So
made the most money in one day.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I can understand how
I
you can be excited.
Being excited about that, yeah.
And doesn't have a reputation for being a nice guy. Wasn't very nice.
Yeah, at least you knew that.
Not surprised by that, though.
At least you knew that. Our phone number is 800-KID-LIVE.
Yeah, if you've met somebody famous, had a celebrity encounter, give us a call. 800-543-3548.
800-5-GEEK. And apparently the lines are very full because, you know, our listener, Tammy, who rides around in circles and tells her husband she's going to the gym.
What's up, Tammy?
And she's really just listening to our show.
Circle Tammy?
She can't get through, so she messaged me.
Uh-huh.
And she wants us to know that she met Bill Clinton. You know I want to talk to her.
Bill Clinton.
Really? Hot.
That's your dude.
Oh, he's one of them.
Yeah. David Letterman, Bill Clinton.
And Steve Martin.
Steve Martin.
My old celebrity dude crushes. I think he's so sexy. Mm.
That's your free pass with Tinder Wolf?
No, I don't think Tinder Wolf thinks having free passes is very funny.
Okay.
We haven't discussed it.
No free pass.
He doesn't like that. I don't think he would.
Well, Jenna, apparently not all meetings with Floyd are bad experiences.
Oh, really?
Sal, you met Floyd Mayweather and had a good experience with him?
We sure did. Thanks for taking the call.
Oh, you're welcome.
It was about 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
My wife and my daughter, who's 10, my son, who's 8, and he's got special needs. We were walking through Times Square, Saks Fifth Avenue. My wife says, there's Floyd Mayweather, and he has these giant 6'7" guys around him.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are huge.
Yeah.
And I go tap one of the guys, I think, on the back of his knee. And I was like, can you take a picture with our family? And Floyd turns around. The guy says no. And then Floyd turns around and says, I'll take one. And my little son's holding his little alligator he got from FAO Schwartz. And he says, hi. And he goes, I'll take one with you.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
We take a picture.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend takes a picture, and we get swarmed like you wouldn't believe. I mean, there was...
You opened up the floodgates.
Yeah.
Totally. And then he just disappears after the picture, like David Blaine makes him disappear, and we don't even see him.
Yeah.
So if that's his life, I can understand. But for one moment, he had a kind heart for a family.
Okay.
You think one of those 7-foot bodyguards just has like a compartment?
Yeah.
And Floyd just climbs in.
Just hops right in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's why. Because you take one picture and then people start going, who are they taking photos with? Who is that? Yeah, it'd be a nightmare. But you had the kid advantage.
Yeah.
The kid advantage.
You should have had your pug with you.
Yeah. Jenna. Well, Sal, thanks for your call, man.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you, guys.
Take care, bro.
You get one of those little designer dog carry-alls and go to those rich people department stores. They don't even blink.
But what if he doesn't like pugs? He's not about the pug life.
Yeah, maybe he's a cat guy.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that would blow my mind if Floyd Mayweather was a cat guy. That would just blow my mind.
He might be. He's so, his hands are soft.
His hands are supple.
Yeah. Jenna said his hands are super soft.
His hands were so soft. It was like, I don't know. I thought he was a hand model. It was weird.
They're supple like a baby's bottle.
Yeah. Shannon, what was your celebrity encounter like?
I met Dwight Yoakam at a Denny's at about 2:30 in the morning in Wichita Falls.
That could be a song right there.
Yeah.
What did he order?
Was it after a night of drinking?
No. I was a bartender at the time. And he was there filming that movie, that bull riding movie that he did.
That one, yes.
Yeah. Dwight Yoakam's bull riding movie, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. But I saw him, and he's with these two big guys. And I walk over, and he didn't have much to say because I think he was a little more annoyed that I interrupted his breakfast. But, JC, when I sat back down, I literally looked across my table and said, I think I can take him.
I love that song.
I think I can take him.
What is it?
He's a little tiny guy.
Little tiny guy. His legs are like the size of my arms. Yeah. Even. I mean, skinny, little bitty guy.
Very skinny.
Huh. Yeah.
But, yeah, he wasn't really rude and he wasn't really friendly. I think he was more annoyed.
He's the strong, silent type.
Yeah. Thanks for your call, Shannon. Yeah, at least it wasn't bad, but it wasn't good.
That is funny, though. JC, that is the first thing he asked me. And multiple guy friends that I told this story to over the weekend was like, do you think I could take him?
I don't know
why. Like, why do you guys do that about athletes?
Because it's the world champ.
I mean, I don't know. Not a fighter. I don't think you could take the greatest fighter in the world.
It's because most of us are bigger than he is, so we think our size would make up for it.
Yeah, you could hug him to the ground, maybe.
Well, that's what he did to Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, true. And got paid for it, too.
Oh, Lindsay, you got yelled at by two very, very, very famous people. There she is.
Sorry, I'm in my car on my way to work.
No, you're good.
First of all, good morning. I tried to get in to talk to y'all so many times that I'm like so excited that I'm talking to y'all.
Cool.
I can't believe it. But I was in New York City with my theater group whenever I was about 16, and I went to a show that Morgan Freeman was in, and we waited outside to see him go get in his car, and before he came out they were saying no pictures, and so they didn't say anything about autographs, and they told us, they gave us these booklets for him to sign, and when he got out we asked him for autographs, and he yelled at us 16-year-old girls for asking us, how dare we ask him for an autograph, and he like did the whole hand in the face thing.
Aww.
And I'm sitting there like wanting to cry because I thought he was going to be so nice and so cool, and he put his hand in my face and got in his car and left.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but did he do it in his voice?
Yeah, was it soothing?
No. To this day, I still can't watch him without saying, you're a jerk.
Yep,
I know, right? It ruins it.
It changes the way you feel about someone forever.
Did he have his grand wife with him?
It really does. Did he what?
Did he have his granddaughter wife with him?
No. He was by himself.
No, okay. She wasn't born yet, actually.
do you at least have a good celebrity encounter to make up for that one?
Yes. About 2 years ago, I think, or a year and a half ago, we went on The Price is Right, my best friend and her mom, and she won the Showcase Showdown, and we got to meet Drew Carey, and he's the sweetest, coolest guy ever. And during the commercial breaks, he tells you stories and he makes you laugh, and he has no problems hugging you and like definitely letting you soak in like that you just won and giving the full like making your dreams. And you know, she had just won a car and we were dancing, and I actually went on there and my friend jumped into my arms and I dropped her on TV.
Oh my gosh.
Drew Carey's a nice guy. There you go. Morgan Freeman, not so much.
Not so nice.
Just that, at least that time. Thank you, Lindsay, for that call. This one's cool. Robert, you met your celebrity crush.
Yeah. I met her at the premiere of Fish Called Wanda.
Uh-huh.
And a few years later, I found out that I'm related to her.
Who?
Who is it?
Who is it, Rob?
Yeah.
Who?
What celebrity?
You still haven't said her name.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, really?
How are you related?
Well, the same last name, and I did a background check, and it found out that we are related by a distant cousin.
So distant.
Hey, you could still hook up.
But it's not creepy,
Yeah, you could hook up still, right?
Yeah, but it's a little weird when you're looking at someone going, mm-mm-mm, and you're just going, oh, God.
That's my cousin.
Yeah. Thanks for your call, man.
Jamie Lee Curtis. Oh, rich people shop at the stores we shop at as well, apparently. Leslie, who did you meet at Walmart or Walmart tour?
I met Taylor Swift.
At Walmart?
At Walmart?
Was it the Walmart?
It was back when she first was starting out. She only had the one Tim McGraw song out, and she was doing, like, concert tours at Walmart.
Was it a regular Walmart, or was it, like, the neighborhood, or was it the superstore?
Oh, because that makes huge difference.
It was the superstore.
Ah, I see.
Yeah. Was it a good experience? Was she super kind?
It was awesome. Yeah, we went. My sisters and I went, and she played all of the songs on her first CD and gave us little stories about them. And then at the end, if you wanted to hang around and get an autograph and a picture, we just waited in line. It was, I mean, we waited probably an hour or so, but she was super nice when we got up there and thanked us for coming and asked us if we had fun, and it was great.
Very cool. Yeah, you know how Taylor Swift is nice now. Imagine not really that famous Taylor Swift. She must have been the nicest ever. Thank you for your call. We have a gentleman that had some issues over the weekend.
Uh-oh.
Caitlin, who'd your husband meet?
Oh, hi.
Hi.
About 10 years ago, we lived in Florida, and my now husband was a waiter at a celebrity chef restaurant at Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
And he was waiting on this couple. They had a really exclusive table, and he said they were just the most attractive couple he'd ever seen, like, the wife was just, like, supermodel gorgeous, and the guy was super handsome. And so we're from a really small town in Georgia. I mean, there's, like, you know, 20 people.
Right.
And he said the guy just looked so familiar, and he kept asking him all throughout, you know, their dinner, gosh, you just look so familiar. I just can't believe, you know, I know that I know you. And, you know, the guy would kind of chuckle and, you know, oh, I don't know, you know, I don't think I know you. And you know, he asked him one time, gosh, you know, are you from Warner Robins, Georgia? Did you go to, you know, Houston County High School in, you know, 98 or whatever? And the guy just keeps, you know, he's being really nice, kind of, you know, lighthearted about it. He's like, no, I've never been there. And so when they get to the end of their dinner and they're paying and leaving, you know, my husband's talking to him. He's like, gosh, you know, I know that it's going to be one of those things I'm going to remember tomorrow, you know, how I know you, and it's going to drive me crazy. And the guy looks at him and says, you know, did you ever watch Full House? And it hit him all of a sudden, and he's looking at him, and he looks at his wife, and he's like, oh, my God. You know, you're Uncle Jesse. Rebecca Romaine, and oh, my God, I'm the biggest idiot in the world.
Oh, man.
I should know who you are.
Wow.
The whole time he had no idea.
The whole dinner, it was hours. You know, they were having a nice romantic dinner by themselves. And oh, my gosh, he was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm so embarrassed.
Very nice.
John Stamos, he said he was so nice. He was a good tipper. I mean, he was, you know, just he could have been a huge jerk about it, you know, and been like, oh, my God, you're an idiot.
Right.
But he was so nice to him, and he was, you know, came back several times and waited on him, and they would go, you know, they would kind of laugh back and forth about it.
Awesome.
We all need to say a prayer for Uncle Jesse.
Yeah, he had a bad weekend. Thank you, Caitlin. Oh, there you go. John Stamos is a good guy.
Yeah.
He just had a very bad weekend.
Or a fun one.
Or fun.
7:45
on a Friday.
Boy, was day drinking. He was day drinking.
This is the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
A couple weeks ago, we decided we wanted to star in our very own radio soap operas. Because here's the thing, children. Back in the day, soap operas happened on the radio.
That's right.
They did, a long time ago. That's where they began.
And then that dang TV came along and took it away from us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're here to take it back.
All right.
But we needed some help because we're not writers. I mean, Kelly could write, but she's busy.
I forgot how.
She's got to renovate her kitchen.
She's busy.
And she's got that moat they're building out in the front.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. To keep everyone away.
Got a new mural going up.
Mural's happening. So she can't write right now.
My muralist is on retainer.
Jenna can write as well, but she's meeting celebrities and stuff.
Yeah.
Trying to get that going.
I'm trying to find love.
So we asked.
I would hope I can write. I was a journalism major.
So we asked for you, to give us some ideas. And you have come through, Kid Nation, with some lovely storylines.
Really?
Not just ideas. We want you to write the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, not just idea. You got to write it.
So we asked for, like, sample writing, and so we're going to give you a couple of things maybe to choose from, and that way we're going to choose the writer of the soap opera based off the theme.
These are pitches. These are show pitches. We're taking meetings with the writers.
They're pilots.
That's what we're doing. We're taking the pitch.
And then one of them will get the green light.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Maybe.
Ultimately.
Maybe.
All right.
What you got, Kelly?
All right. This one's called Dwindling Heart.
Okay, so you're going to read us like a little paragraph.
Yeah, by Jameson Rooker Gomez, hyphenated and everything. Here's the plot. Okay. Entrepreneur Big Al Mack plans Stan Winnings, currently co-owner of a chain of successful, sexy, and elegant bars and clubs across the country, until he is suddenly... Oh, I think you play it, not plan it.
Yeah, you play
Stan Winnings.
Yeah. Okay.
You own a chain of successful, sexy, and elegant bars and clubs across the country until he is suddenly hit by a car one morning while jogging with his dog, Curtis.
Oh, no!
His third wife, Constance, played by Kelly Raspberry, remains in turmoil, for she was ready to divorce Stan until his untimely accident that leaves him in a coma.
Oh,
that's good, Al. That means no lines for you.
In a coma! Oh, man! Come on!
So she travels the world with her secret lover Eduardo, played by...
What?
JC, of course.
Are you cheating on me while I'm in a coma?
Who is also the son of Stan's business partner. Decisions have been made about pulling the plug on Stan until Stan's daughter... Marguerite, played by Jenna Owens, from his first marriage to Dr. Girlfriend in the picture. Marguerite claims to have access to a second will, naming her sole heir to Stan's fortune and his power of attorney. This is Dwindling Heart.
That's a great storyline.
This is me in a coma.
No?
No, you don't talk at all.
This is you in a coma. That's a coma.
It's a very intriguing storyline.
See, even if you're in a coma, the actor still gets paid the same.
Oh, okay.
That's true, Al.
All right, as long as I'm getting paid.
Right. No, you're in a contract.
As long as I'm getting paid.
The Screen Actors Guild.
And there's going to be flashbacks, probably, Al. It's a soap opera.
Okay,
there could be flashbacks.
Or in Al's head, you know.
Right. Now, Kelly, didn't you date a guy who had a wife in a coma?
Yes, I did.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Otis.
Nice little ponytail, and he used to take you in the limo. He
took me in my first limo ride.
I had
my first and only raw oyster with that man.
Oh, yeah, you did.
He was introducing me into the finer things of life.
Are y'all Facebook friends or anything?
No, we're not.
Y'all don't tweet?
But don't you dare call Otis's house, because you might wake up the wife in the coma.
When the phone rang, I wasn't allowed to speak.
Uh-huh.
It was too difficult for the children to understand that Daddy had to move on.
Right.
Don't call that.
Oh, man.
It was a short-lived relationship.
I bet it was.
Well, what about The Mic Stops Here?
That's the name of the soap opera, Jenna?
Yes.
Oh,
we're reading
like
you a sampling of soap opera plot lines that Kid Nation has written us. The Mic Stops Here by Mallory Oswalt. In a world where ostriches have tentacles.
That's because Al said this.
Had a barbecue at their house. They grilled ostrich on the grill. I would sleep on the
ostrich?
Couch. Yeah, like ostrich, like the big head, the eight tentacles. Yes.
That's an octopus.
Oh.
So in a world where ostriches have tentacles,
yeah.
Al, this is your world, buddy.
An unlikely no-name country singer, Artemis McShelton.
Come on, man.
And his colorful posse travel around the country, coming across strange occurrences on their way to sure stardom. His friends, Rantin' Red... Side Boob Barbie and Flying with Squirrels are there for him through thick and thin most of the time. Listen to it all unfold on The Mic Stops Here.
Wow, I like all that. Right.
Rant and Red?
Yep.
Rant and Red. That's pretty interesting.
Good character names.
Possible musical numbers in that soap opera, possibly.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I'm not in a coma.
This one is co-authored by Anna and Dave Harris.
Oh, husband and wife.
Co-authors.
It's a husband and wife team. That could be interesting.
I like that. Uh-huh.
Carnival Passion.
Oh.
Death, Diversion, and Devotion takes place in a touring carnival.
Yeah.
Oh. A local detective, Big Al Mack, must go undercover to solve the murder of the carnival ringmaster. Will he be able to decipher the truth with the fortune teller, Kelly Raspberry, get caught up in the love triangles at the kissing booth, JC?
Oh, I'm gonna kiss him.
Or will he just go in circles with the Ferris wheel operator, Jenna? Only time will tell at Carnival Passion.
Okay.
It's in Espanol, I guess.
I'm a police officer. I like that.
A telenovela. That's what that is.
Like that?
It's a Ferris wheel operator.
No, there's so many other freak show options for me.
The bearded lady?
Yeah.
And everybody knows Jenna's a method actor.
Uh-huh. She is.
She's going to have to pull a few teeth.
Yeah. Ooh.
Ooh. How about The Grapes of Destiny by Barbara Thomas?
The Grapes of Destiny.
Destiny.
I love the names of these soap operas.
Yeah.
Destiny Kelly is the founder and matriarch of Grapes of Destiny, a boutique winery in Napa.
Love it.
She has two adult children, Bitsy, played by Jenna,
Bitsy,
her daughter from her first marriage, and Lorenzo, JC, the product of a passionate affair she had with a gardener during a trip to Italy to explore the possibility of hybrid grapes.
Shout out.
Bitsy and Lorenzo are engaged in a constant escalating war for control of the winery. Mm-hmm. Their methods include blackmail, bribery, murder plots, and kidnapping. As if these children weren't enough to deal with, Destiny must fend off a hostile takeover attempt from Smiling Joe. Al, who wants to buy the winery and incorporate it into his existing business, Smiling Joe's Wine in a Can.
Wine in a Can. Oh,
I like it.
That's hilarious.
If that has not been trademarked yet.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Is there wine in a can?
Wine in a can. I don't know.
I got to Google it.
Get wineinacan.com if it's available, please.
Wine in a Can.
Is it available?
Yes, there's wine in a can.
Dang
no, there's already wine in a can. Crap.
I mean, it's not that much of a stretch. There's wine in a box.
Well, sure.
No, but wine in a can?
That's way better than wine in a box.
Is it I know this is sidetracking.
Good.
Is it brands that we would know, or is it?
I've never heard of it. Underwood by Union Wine Company. Baroques.
So okay. It's not like wine.
There's a couple of them.
Baroques Obama?
Yeah, Baroque's Obama.
Baroque's. That's what you get when you start making wine in a can. Baroque's.
Oh, I love that idea. You could still, but how?
You can still do it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
What was the name of that one again? Yeah. Grapes of what?
The Grapes of Destiny.
Oh, I'm feeling that. So, that's funny.
I like them all.
We'll post these plot lines.
I do too.
Yeah, that were submitted on KidNation.com. It could be fun more like trailers just to read potential soap opera plots.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're still looking too. If you want to submit your idea, go to KidNation.com, KIDDNation.com.
And then we'll just, you know, we'll post a number of them and then probably vote from there or whatever. Whatever just sounds best.
That would go and there. Then we get to act.
But whoever writes this and we select you, you're going to have to write an episode every show.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be long, like what?
Yeah,
a couple
it doesn't have
minutes.
To be long.
Like a couple minutes.
Yeah. Couple you know? Minutes.
Yeah.
And we have many side characters you can implement.
Yeah. Because
we have the man room.
So many people in the back.
We have Psycho Shannon right there in the production room. We have Elena in the phone screening room.
Yeah.
White Cheddar and Nick, the producers. Plenty of people if you want to throw in some characters.
Good deal.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
So Kelly and I,
big old trip,
ventured off. It was my second trip to Durango, Colorado for the annual Mac and Cheese Festival.
I love the idea of the Macaroni and Cheese Festival. This should be in every city across America.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's exactly what it was. They have like 30 vendors. Restaurants that make a macaroni and cheese dish, whether it's on their menu or not, they make one for this festival.
They create it. They just put all sorts. Al says he's even going to add a menu item.
Yeah, I think so.
He was inspired.
So really all sorts
is it
different.
A competition?
It is.
It's a friendly competition. Yeah. There's trophies to hand out.
Is it just macaroni and cheese, or do they have beer gardens and all that stuff?
They have wine.
They do have wine, and they
and
do
beer,
have different beers and stuff.
And they have dispensaries there as well. They weren't giving away pot samples or anything like that, but they do advertise where you can go to get it.
Dispensaries.
I walked up to one. I said, hey, look, I'm just keeping it real. You know, I had my little thug on. I said, I need a box of weed.
A box of weed.
Oh, yeah.
He was trying to let him think he knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, keep it real.
You got that lingo down.
Me and my boy want to smoke up.
And they were giving away free marijuana leaf necklaces.
Okay.
You know, if it's free, I'll take two.
Right.
Now in Colorado, it's legal.
So legal.
It is.
For recreational use, right?
Yes, it is.
Not just medicinal.
Right.
It is.
Okay.
So, Kelly and I guess, after the macaroni and cheese, by the way, it hailed. Like, what, an hour into the event?
Oh,
I was really nervous because you're closer to the sun in Colorado, and the sun there is way intense.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
Yeah,
are you really?
Our guy, Mace, is the guy who he runs higher up tours.
High up tours.
And you know, like they take you on winery tours. He takes you to marijuana dispensary tours.
That's okay. A thing. And, that is a thing.
He's a great guy. So nice. Couldn't have been nicer. And he was telling me how he used to work in Florida, and he was out in the sun all the time, and he had a base tan. He thought this was nothing. He came to Colorado, and he got fried. It's different.
It's elevation.
So yeah. Closer to the sun.
Back to his tours. So, like, they have wine tours and beer garden tours where you go try different kinds. They do that with
marijuana tours. Yes.
Dude, we're sitting in the back of his Suburban, whatever it was, and in the seat back pocket or whatever, the seat in front, there's, like, magazines on
the dispensaries. Cannabis.
Okay.
Yeah. Dispensaries. I mean,
so
it's,
if you're ever in Durango, look up Mace at High Up Tours.
It is a thing.
So,
of course it is.
So anyway, I got SPF 60 everywhere, and I'm like panicked. I'm like, I'm going to be a fraud. But we get there, and there's a cloud moving in, and, you know, and everybody's thinking, oh, the weather's going to be bad. I'm like, thank God. Well, about after 20 minutes there, hail starts pummeling us.
Yeah.
And we're all standing under the tents, holding the tents, and it rains for about 20 minutes or so.
Yeah,
and then it's just cloudy and
beautiful.
But you know what? It would note that.
Perfect for me.
The Coloradans, Durangoans, they stayed.
Not one person left.
In fact, more came down. They were just sitting in their cars in the parking lot waiting to come in. So
they passed out free ponchos, and we were eating more macaroni and cheese.
Shout out to my boy Jeremy. In the middle of the hailstorm, homeboy makes a beer run, comes back and hands me a beer. Like risking his life.
Pummeled by hail.
How big was the hail?
They were like gumballs.
Yeah.
So I mean, decent.
They hurt.
Of course they hurt.
They hurt.
They're coming down at a million miles an hour. Yeah. They sting.
Yeah.
So Kelly and I are having a great time, and thanks to the 20, maybe 25 people that pointed out the fact that I was wearing the same exact T-shirt this year. Just coincidence that I wore to the event last
in
year.
In Miley, we trust.
Yes.
Same shirt. Tuesday. I said, well, next year you have to wear the same
one. Yeah, it's the classy one.
It's a thing now. So anyway, we make our way over to the dispensary, and we put on the little marijuana leaf necklaces, and we thought it'd be funny. You know, Kelly and I, we took some pictures, because this is so fish out of water.
Well, here's the thing. One of the pictures you posted, Al.
Uh-huh.
Kelly, you look like you partook in some.
I did. Well, then, okay. I even posted it because I have to laugh. Yes. This is funny.
She was.
Your eyes are very squinted.
Well, the man is taking, like, he's standing there just, we don't know. You know when you're posing for a picture and you're just standing there and you don't realize the guy's taking like 10 or 15 pictures and you're still just standing there? So out of 15 pictures, this is the one where I'm blinking.
If I were to describe Kelly in this picture with just somebody's laugh, it'd be this one.
That's why I posted it. It's so funny.
It's funny.
I'm wearing a marijuana necklace.
Right.
And I look like I'm loopy.
Right.
So the event is winding down.
Yeah.
And we decide there's an after party. Our boy Cody is DJing at this little bar. And so we go to the after party, right? We walk in. There's probably, I don't know, there's 20, 30 people there. And we stop by a distillery. I'll lift that up. Anyway, we roll this.
Wait, what?
We stop by a distillery.
A distillery.
Oh.
Where they make their
own
vodka.
Not a dispensary. No. A distillery. Okay.
Well, that's boring.
Yeah.
They have their own vodka there. It's named Soiled Doves because the city was built on the backs of prostitutes.
It really was.
They were nicknamed were Soiled Doves.
That's what they would call them, like, in the newspaper.
And they taxed them very heavily. And that's how they paid for these big buildings and stuff was on the...
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. And...
It's
paying homage to them.
Yeah.
I bought a bottle of that vodka. Anyway.
Okay.
So we go to the bar.
You're at the after party.
Right? It's 7 o'clock in the afternoon?
But here's the thing. All the marijuana dispensaries close at 8.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Because they got rules.
And so Kelly and I, all afternoon, I've been trying to get Kelly, come on. Let's just go to one. We don't have to do anything. Let's just go and check it out and see. Because I've never been in one.
I haven't been in one.
Kelly Dingtree hadn't been in one.
You're just very curious.
Yeah. We're just curious. It's legal there? What is it like?
Yeah. Okay.
So we go in this bar, and we say, hey, man, where's one of these little weed places? And so,
well, they're very proud. You don't have to even be secretive.
No, they're proud.
Of course, it's legal.
You guys are making it
it's legal. You guys aren't breaking the law.
For them, it's like a coffee shop.
Yeah, right.
It's the way Al talks about it.
So,
where's this weed place at?
Hey, where's the spot?
And you don't have to whisper.
Where can I buy a box of weed?
And homeboy's like, there's one next door.
Next door.
And here's the owner right here. And so I'm like, boom.
Jackpot.
Jackpot. I'm like, Kelly, come on, let's do it.
Now, so, how hard was it to get Kelly to go with you? Because Kelly is the biggest goody-goody in the world.
She is. But she was like,
I'm curious.
Let's go check it out.
Again, it's not breaking the law.
It's
okay.
Totally legal.
And we walked in and they said this particular dispensary, it was the, oh gosh.
Colorado Grow Company.
Co-Grow Co. is what they say.
You got their card.
Co-Grow Co. Okay. And it was, they described it as like the Apple Store of dispensaries.
Dude, I'm
it was
you.
So
it's so nice.
They have iWeed?
Neat.
It's
they
so
have
nice.
Little plastic
gosh.
With magnifying glasses so you can look at the buds and you can see. And then there's a little thing you can pick up. There's another thing you lift off. You can smell it.
I can't believe I'm hearing Kelly
and then
talk
there's
about
a descript,
this.
There's, they have Snoop Dogg's strain of weed in there.
What is it?
I don't remember
something
what it's
something that makes you want to. It doesn't
you
make
you lay on the couch. No, it doesn't.
No, his makes you want to work a little
speedy,
bit.
Speedy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They have marijuana.
I didn't know there's different kinds.
I didn't either.
Did y'all know that?
There's marijuana
well,
for
mind.
Aches and pains. There's marijuana to make you mentally alert.
Uh-huh.
There's marijuana that makes you want to just lay on the couch and sleep. Uh-huh. There's all sorts of marijuana.
Yeah.
And they have these things called edibles. Now, this blew my mind.
See, and that's the only way I think Kelly would be down.
Okay, hang on.
They were marijuana gummy bears.
Mm-hmm.
There's marijuana everything.
Everything. And it's
so.
And so I said, Kelly, you should buy some. Okay, first of all, they barely let me in because I didn't have my ID with me. So
okay,
I,
of course.
Told that.
Oh. Oh, I shouldn't tell that.
You found your ID.
You're so even trying to do something legal, you're ruining it.
So anyway, hold up. So Kelly purchases.
I said, I'm not. I don't care if it's legal. I'm still not going to do it. I'm just not. It's not in my spirit to do it. I said, but our driver, Mace, was so nice. I said, I'm going to buy you some marijuana. And so I bought marijuana gummy bears.
Oh, you didn't do it.
And I gave them to Mace as his tip, and he was very appreciative. So I bought drugs. But I did not partake.
How?
I didn't buy nothing.
He didn't buy nothing.
You didn't eat anything gummy bears.
Nothing?
And it's cash only.
Nothing, yeah. Kelly?
No record of my transaction.
Jerry Raspberry, how proud of your daughter are you?
Uh-oh.
Well, I'm digesting all of this, and it made a great skit, I know, but this is all just made up. Somebody wrote this. This really didn't happen.
Oh, Daddy, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were on the phone.
No way. This is taking Rocky Mountain High to a newer level.
But, Daddy, even if I did do it, it is legal there.
Yes.
But I did not do it. I just bought it for someone else.
I'd
well,
be
cash.
Yeah. It's legal there, Jerry.
Mr.
Raspberry.
Legal, and then there's Jerry Raspberry's right and wrong.
Was it that bad, Daddy?
Well,
I didn't do it. And Big Al have my back.
She didn't do it.
Well,
I believe
I must
her.
Say what I must say. It could have been worse. Mm-hmm. It could have been a whole lot better.
Oh, yeah. Amen, Mr. Raspberry. Amen. You need to go to church a little bit early.
Oh, really?
Young lady.
It was legal.
I'm just saying.
It's completely legal.
Thank
Daddy.
You, Mr. Raspberry. Mr. Raspberry,
Mr. Raspberry.
I had complete control of the situation, Mr. Raspberry.
Yeah.
That makes Al's trying to buy boxes of marijuana.
Wonderful talking to you, Mr. Raspberry.
Y'all have a great day.
You too.
The Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen. Glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
What's your guys' feeling on Mark Wahlberg?
Mark Wahlberg. I don't have a feeling.
You don't have a feeling towards him? I love him.
Now that you mention it, I don't feel anything.
No, I mean, I like him.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
And I thought he's
the same in every movie. We have to admit that.
He's a lot different.
How is he a lot different?
Mark Wahlberg in Fear compared to Mark Wahlberg in Ted, completely different.
Mm,
yeah,
really?
I like him. He seems to be,
yeah,
you know, a family guy. So I like that about him.
He would have saved that plane.
Yeah. Right.
I'm sorry, I just can't get over that.
Well,
he has that. I would have saved that plane.
Oh, mm-hmm. Every man in every bar in America said the same thing that night.
Yeah.
He has a party trick that he got from his latest movie. You know how they filmed Ted 2?
Mm-hmm.
Because in Ted 1, he did he lists all the white trash names he knew.
All right, Brandy, Heather, Channing, Brianna, Amber, Sabrina, Melody, Dakota, Sierra, Bambi, Crystal, Samantha, Autumn, Ruby, Taylor, Tara, Tammy, Lauren, Charlene, Chantel, Courtney, Misty, Jenny, Krista, Mindy, Noelle, Shelby, Trina, Reba, Cassandra, Nikki, Kelsey, Shauna, Jolene, Erling, Claudine, Savannah, Casey, Dolly, Kendra, Kylie, Chloe, Devin, Emily, Becky?
Nope.
Wait, was it any one of those names with a Lynn after it?
Yes.
Now, That is tough to do because he had to memorize that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like one of those hard monologues.
Like actors do that, yeah.
Yeah, actors have to. Yeah. Well, nowadays, actors just, they just do their lines. It's like they don't memorize things half the time.
What?
They just go in there. No, they tell them, this is where we're going and do what you feel.
You're
just
saying improv. Improv.
They do a lot of improv, yeah. So this in this movie and Ted too.
It's a theory.
No, that's what I've heard a lot of actors saying. Is
well, that some doing Kelly, comedies yeah, yeah. and things Kelly, like that,
which is what he's doing.
We have to defer to JC on this. He was just
that's true.
He was just on the big screen.
How much ad libbing did you get to do? And what was it called?
Badge of no
Reborn.
Reborn.
Yeah.
Like I don't think the Great Gatsby
couple.
They were ad libbing.
No. There's movies where they I'm sure, but
sure with comedians.
But like in a comedy like this one, you get yeah. to ad lib quite a bit. So for him to have to memorize something that long, that's tough.
Okay.
So in Ted 2, he did it again, but it got cut out.
Oh.
So now he says he just uses it for a party trick, and it's where he names 57 movie characters.
57 movie names. Okay.
Skywalker,
okay.
Zola, Vader, Kenobi, Palpatine, Calrissian, Balboa, Rambo, Grizzle, Stifler, Bickle, Gump, Coleon, Wonka, Savaga, Lebowski, Venkman, Spengler, Stance, Rizzo, Zugo, Lightly, Higgins, Doolittle, Poppins, Bond, Blofeld, Blatarski, Lightyear, Soze, O'Hara, Dufresne, Glissot, McFly, Baggins, Plissken, Ventura, Montoya, Burgundy, Sissonhands, Drebin, Stryker, Buell, Electric, Potter, Weasley, Dumbledore, Sparrow, Dumbboy, Bourne, Von Trapp, Zoolander, Kirk, Spock, McCoy, Khan.
Kelly, that's like when you name the books of the Bible.
Right?
Go ahead.
No, I don't want to.
It probably would balance out the universe today, considering the sin that you committed.
I didn't commit a sin.
Kelly went to Colorado and bought pot
a
gummy bears for
Colorado.
Their driver.
It wasn't a sin in Colorado.
I'm surprised Kelly wasn't out front with a sign picketing.
Yeah. And her dad heard it.
Mr. Raspberry is not very
y'all
happy.
Y'all set me up for that.
Not very happy with you.
Hey, she didn't do anything. She just bought it.
She didn't do it.
She just bought it.
And gave
I
it
was
away.
A mule.
Speaking of breaking the law.
Uh-oh.
Thank you for getting us on that tangent app.
You got it.
For the last couple weeks, we've been trying to find the thief among us.
No, you.
You.
Okay.
You have been. No one cares about your oatmeal as much as you do.
Well, you guys should because you're putting food in that fridge as well. So
but they're
your
not stealing
food.
Our food. They're stealing your food.
They're stealing my food.
Yeah, they're stealing oatmeal of all things. And they've stolen some tequila from me.
Yeah.
A full bottle of Centenario.
That one was solved.
Don't know if it was the same people or not. But
yeah. Kelly thinks it's the agency that works here in the same building as us.
I'm the only one that thinks that.
Oh, we all thought it.
Okay, why you put it on me then?
I would like to take this moment to apologize to the Infinite Agency.
Oh, it's not them. You've cleared them of all charges?
They are completely cleared of all charges. Huh. Every single one of them.
So who?
They're all wonderful, good people.
Who could be responsible for stealing your oatmeal out of the freezer twice?
It's one of our own, Al.
It was a prank, wasn't it?
No, Kelly.
It wasn't a prank. I just knew somebody was pranking you.
Yeah.
Because you wrote your name on one box.
The first time I get as an accident, the second time your name was written on every angle of
right.
the box.
That made it a prank.
Yeah. No.
Or at least malicious.
So I'm back there by the water cooler, having water cooler conversations with Shannon.
What were you guys talking about?
We're just talking about our weekends.
Okay.
And how I was upset about my oatmeal being stolen.
Right.
In fact, that's actually what I brought up. And she goes, wait, what kind of oatmeal do you buy? And I said, I buy that one box from Trader Joe's with the two little oatmeals on it. And she goes, huh. And she gave that Shannon face. You know, like where something clicked in her head.
Yeah, and that's hard to do because she just had brain surgery.
Right.
I don't know what that means.
And as soon as she did that, I knew I had found my culprit. Shannon Murphy.
Wait a minute.
Fess up to your crime.
Wait, we sat here on the radio.
I know, Kelly.
Two different times.
You had your name all over the box.
All over the box.
Does she not
I
listen
do not
to
not eat. Any oatmeal with your name on the box. So there is possibly still a thief amongst us.
But maybe you just didn't look at the box?
But how many oatmeals did you eat?
I ate three.
And how many did you bring?
I brought four.
She claims to have brought four.
I brought two boxes, each with two frozen oatmeals in each box.
Did you or did you not throw away one of the oatmeals, Shannon?
Yes, I did because it looked freezer burnt. And I thought that I was going to get sick if I ate said oatmeal, so I threw it in the trash.
But well, if
the whole
she
time
brought
we're talking
four,
about it on the air,
and you've never brought
I
this
thought,
up.
I honestly thought that he was talking about those blue bowls that he has in the studio.
What blue bowls?
And I was like, you eat something in a blue bowl. And I thought, okay, so it's a different kind of oatmeal. He eats his in a blue bowl. I have the ones that are not in a blue bowl, so it's not the same kind of oatmeal. No big deal.
The math still doesn't add up, though, because if you brought in two boxes with two things of oatmeal in each, and so did he, then there should be double oatmeal.
There should be. So yeah, I don't know how it's not adding up. I don't know where the oatmeal went, but apparently I have somehow eaten his oatmeal, or somebody has eaten my oatmeal, and there's still an oatmeal thief in the office.
Nope.
I blame the nerds.
Could Shannon, Shannon's in the next room doing our buttons.
The one who's been listening to this oatmeal thievery going on.
Could it be possible that you, in your brain condition, and possibly eaten twice as much oatmeal that you thought you have consumed?
No, it's not possible, because you have to actually go and make an effort to heat it up and stir it and then reheat it. I think I would remember that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You think you would, but you...
That was my lawyer,
like she
by
blacked
way.
Out and ate all the oatmeal.
Be 100% certain
good
on
question,
this,
Al.
Our
thank
consumption
you.
Of oatmeal. I mean, because the brain is a funny thing.
Really, Al?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the brain can play tricks on you.
Yeah, look at Kelly. Yeah. Kelly keeps forgetting stuff lately.
You have oatmealnesia.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's no chance. So basically, I'm saying there is a thief in this office, and
you're the thief.
I'm blaming the
so
nerds.
So you're trying to jump on the lawsuit and get a class action going.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying
to do. That's what she's trying to do.
Somebody owes me $2.99 plus $2.99 is for whatever that is.
It's $6.
Yeah. Yes, that much. Plus tax.
Okay.
I don't get what we just accomplished here. We didn't
Shannon stole my oatmeal. That's what we accomplished.
I didn't steal your oatmeal. I might have accidentally thrown one away on accident because it was freezer burnt. So basically, I kind of saved your life, but I did not steal your oatmeal.
Okay.
But wouldn't you have to open the box?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not
trying
to. It
was already open.
Because I open them.
Okay.
Because I open them and I look at them, Al, and I go, hey, little oatmeal.
But I had an oatmeal in the freezer when that happened.
I don't know, Shannon. I have witnesses.
I had one.
I have witnesses that saw me put oatmeal in the freezer. Witnesses.
I don't doubt that you put oatmeal in the freezer.
I don't even care anymore. I'm hungry now, though.
I'm with you on that, Jenna. Who's going to the deli?
Shannon?
I want a garage door separating us and them. That's what I want for Christmas.
Who's us and them?
We don't need cars. We need a garage door separating the companies.
They didn't steal anything.
Yes, they did. They stole my oatmeal.
It was you all along.
They stole my oatmeal.
It was you all along, Shannon.
And the tequila.
No, we found out that was a rock band.
Oh.
That was visiting.
And there is a garage door.
Forgot about that.
See? See?
See, Shannon, forget stuff.
There is a garage door right there in the middle of the building.
Dang.
And you don't realize that. So I think Shannon may have done it.
I think I might have her arrested. That's what I'm going to do.
You at least put a warrant out.
Something like that.
That's fine.
We need a show cop.
We need a show cop.
We need a camera.
We need a show cop.
Yeah.
A camera aimed at the refrigerator. That would solve all sorts of problems.
Paul Blart, Kid Craddock Morning Show Cop.
I thought we were getting a drop cam.
Yeah, cop's probably cheaper.
Oh, I got that. I'll bring mine in.
You got one?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to do that. And then we're going to catch Shannon stealing from me.
I bet you're stealing it and taking it home for your kids.
No, because why would I bring it from home if I'm stealing it?
Shannon's got brain issues, though.
By the way, if you want to steal a trip from us, go sign up at KidNation.com. We're playing Trip Again tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock Central. Be there.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.